120 people gathered together, all praying for others and what was about to happen, although it still is not clear what exactly would take place. But then someone stands up. It's Peter. But as he begins to speak, people realize he is calling a meeting to order. All this joy and unity, and Peter calls a meeting? But there is a detail to deal with. Who will take Judas' role as one of the 12 apostles? Really? Peter, couldn't this have waited until later? But the business meeting was apparently short, and soon they returned to praying. Chapter 2. 120 people gathered in an upper room, a large upper room. That would suggest it was a bit crowded. It might be hot with so many people in one place, but God has the solution. There is the sound of a great blast of wind rushing into the house. Its source, the text tells us, is heaven. The roar of mighty wind was so loud nothing else could be heard. A pillar of fire appeared and then separated so that smaller pillars of fire engulfed each person. But like the burning bush that Moses saw many centuries before, it did not consume, but instead enabled language. The language was that of God. But here, on Pentecost, in this upper room, those present spoke in languages they did not know. But others present knew the languages and learned much because they had heard their own language being spoken. Was it a miracle of speech, or was it a miracle of hearing? I don't know, but it was a miracle regardless. Keener states that an ancient tradition among the Jews was that God offered the law at Mount Sinai to 70 Gentile nations, each in their own language. This is parallel to that tradition. It is clearly cross-cultural speech. Other people outside the room heard the many languages being spoken and were no doubt surprised to hear their own languages. Perhaps they saw the fire and held back from entering. Even today, when believers catch those who are fire-filled with the Holy Spirit, they hold back. What is this? Who are these people? What's going on? People ask. Pentecost still happens. But Pentecost is not intended to be kept in an even a large upper room. It is intended to be shared. Thus, apparently the crowd of people, hearing the cacophony of languages and seeing the fires, they back away as these spirit-filled leaders and disciples take to the streets. It is natural, completely normal, for those who are filled with the Holy Spirit to reach out to others. And this they did as the crowd divided like the Red Sea and let God's people walk through. But not many left. They wanted to know what this meant. A few of the naysayers accused them of being drunk. But they were apparently very few, not enough to dampen all that was happening. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning, Peter would note. Mornings were for waking up to the world, not masking the world by a drunken consciousness. Besides, the speakers were rational, they spoke in languages, and they made sense. Drunk? Not a chance. Where did they go? Keener states that the temple courts would be the most sensible place to meet and preach. Sometimes the painters portray this as occurring on the temple steps, although I wonder if the religious leaders would be pleased, especially if they caught wind, pardon the pun, of these followers of Jesus, Yeshua. They may have muttered, "Troublemakers," and they would be right. When God's people are filled with the Spirit, they hear from God and they notice what they didn't see before. They may be noisy. They may see what should be questioned by those in leadership. And the biggest threat of all to those leaders is that they are telling others about Jesus and using the languages of the people. Speaking in local dialects and Hebrew might keep the movement local and more controllable. And these people, though, they seem to know all of the languages of humanity, and people were listening. But they will leave when Pentecost is complete, some leaders might have said. Yes, they will leave and take the message of Jesus wherever they go. Hallelujah! This is parallel to the scattering of people from the Tower of Babel, or Babel in the Old Testament, speaking in different languages. You remember that story? It was to scatter them. It was to separate them. Yet here in Acts, God transcends the language barrier, Keener notes. And by the way, James Loder agrees with that. Did the people of God remain in flames, and did they continue to speak in foreign languages? Well, I really can't say. But I am sure they were at least more quiet when Peter spoke to the crowd. And what a message he had for them, a message to quiet their anxious hearts and to feed their hungry souls. This is Brother Don.